Like most Gunters, I loathed the Sixers and was disgusted by their very existence. By hiring an army of contract egg hunters, IOI was perverting the entire spirit of the contest. Of course, it could be argued that all the Gunters who had joined clans were doing the same thing. There were now hundreds of Gunter clans, some with thousands of members, all working together to find the egg. Each clan was bound by an ironclad legal agreement stating that if one clan member won the contest, all members would share the prize. Solos like me didn't much care for the clans either, but we still respected them as fellow Gunters. Unlike the Sixers, whose goal was to hand the Oasis over to an evil multinational conglomerate intent on ruining it. My generation had never known a world without the Oasis. To us, it was much more than a game or an entertainment platform. It had been an integral part of our lives for as far back as we could remember. We'd been born into an ugly world, and the Oasis was our one happy refuge. The thought of the simulation being privatized and homogenized by IOI horrified us in a way that those born before its introduction found difficult to understand. For us, it was like someone threatening to take away the sun or charge a fee to look up at the sky. The Sixers gave Gunters a common enemy, and Sixer bashing was a favorite pastime in our forums and chat rooms. A lot of high-level Gunters had a strict policy of killing or trying to kill every Sixer who crossed their path. Several websites were devoted to tracking Sixer activities and movements, and some Gunters spent more time hunting the Sixers than they did searching for the egg. The bigger clans actually held a yearly competition called 86 the Sixers, with a prize for the clan who managed to kill the largest number of them. After checking a few other Gunter forums, I tapped a bookmark icon for one of my favorite websites, Artie's Missives, the blog of a female Gunter named Artemis. I discovered it about 3 years ago and had been a loyal reader ever since. She posted these great rambling essays about her search for Halliday's egg, which she called a maddening MacGuffin hunt. She wrote with an endearing, intelligent voice, and her entries were filled with self-deprecating humor and witty, sardonic asides. In addition to posting her often hysterical interpretations of passages in the almanac, she also linked to the books, movies, TV shows, and music she was currently studying as part of her Halliday research. I assumed that all of these posts were filled with misdirection and misinformation, but they were still highly entertaining. It probably goes without saying that I had a massive cyber crush on Artemis. She occasionally posted screenshots of her raven-haired avatar, and I sometimes, always, saved them to a folder on my hard drive. Her avatar had a pretty face, but it wasn't unnaturally perfect. In the Oasis, you got used to seeing freakishly beautiful faces on everyone, but Artemis's features didn't look as though they'd been selected from a beauty drop-down menu on some avatar creation template. Her face had the distinctive look of a real person's, as if her true features had been scanned in and mapped onto her avatar. Big hazel eyes, rounded cheekbones, a pointy chin, and a perpetual smirk. I found her unbearably attractive. Artemis's body was also somewhat unusual. In the Oasis, you usually saw one of two body shapes on female avatars: the absurdly thin yet wildly popular supermodel frame, or the top-heavy, wasp-waisted porn starlet physique, which looked even less natural in the Oasis than it did in the real world. But Artemis's frame was short and Rubenesque, all curves. I knew the crush I had on Artemis was both silly and ill-advised. What did I really know about her? She'd never revealed her true identity, of course, or her age or location in the real world. There was no telling what she really looked like. She could be 15 or 50. A lot of Gunters even questioned whether she was really female, but I wasn't one of them. Probably because I couldn't bear the idea that the girl with whom I was virtually smitten might actually be some middle-aged dude named Chuck with back hair and male pattern baldness. In the years since I'd first started reading Artie's missives, it had become one of the most popular blogs on the internet, now logging several million hits a day. And Artemis was now something of a celebrity, at least in Gunter circles. But fame hadn't gone to her head. Her writing was still as funny and self-deprecating as ever. Her newest blog post was titled The John Hughes Blues, and it was an in-depth treatise on her six favorite John Hughes teen movies, which she divided into two separate trilogies. The Dorky Girl Fantasies trilogy, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, and Some Kind of Wonderful, and the Dorky Boy Fantasies trilogy, The Breakfast Club, Weird Science, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Just as I'd finished reading it, an instant message window popped up in my display. It was my best friend, H. Okay, if you want to split hairs, he was my only friend, not counting Mrs. Gilmore. H. Top of the morning, amigo. Parzival. Hola, compadre. H. What are you up to? Parzival. Just surfing the turf. You? H. Got the basement online. Come and hang out before school, fool. Parzival. Sweet. I'll be there in a sec. I closed the IM window and checked the time. I still had about half an hour until class started. I grinned and tapped a small door icon at the edge of my display, then selected H's chat room from my list of favorites.